Services, we have been considering various proverbs in the book of Proverbs. And I would like to turn our attention to the third chapter of Proverbs in verse 35. Proverbs 3, verse 35, which reads, "The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools." It is very much a part of our DNA, as it were, to want to rise higher than we presently are. And as a part of that, to look better, to enjoy more honor, more respect by others who are about us. Well, this proverb taps into that instinct, that interest concerning advancement. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Well, with God's help, we will consider this theme of advancement, especially that advancement that relates to our self-image, an image that we are very eager to maintain and to improve. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Let us consider 5 points. 1, who shall be advanced? 2, unto what shall they be advanced? 3, how shall they be advanced? 4, why shall they be advanced? 5, when shall all of this happen? Who, unto what, how, why, and when? Who shall be advanced? Well, in terms of the structure and the literary style of this proverb, it's both of them. The wise and the fools. They are both going to be advanced. But the second, really, after a manner of speaking, shame shall be the promotion of fools. I'm not sure how many of us naturally we would consider being mortified and embarrassed promotion. I'm not sure how many of us would post that on Instagram or Facebook. Oh, do you see this most mortifying and embarrassing moment of my life? We just don't do that. We try to conceal it. We try to cover it up so that no one has to notice. We don't like have egg dripping from our face. It's embarrassing. It's degrading. So, even though in a literary sense, both the wise and the fools are going to be advanced, they're going to inherit, they're going to be promoted, in a technical sense, it's really only one of them. The wise shall inherit glory. But what shall the fools be promoted to? It shall be shame. So God, by his Holy Spirit, he's tapping into, isn't he, our natural self-interest concerning our image, concerning our self-worth and how we are perceived. And it's only one set of individuals who shall inherit glory, and it's not the fools. Second, unto what shall they be advanced? One shall be advanced to glory. Now, glory is a word that involves various things. It can refer to the outward regalia and the signs of royal power and majesty. For example, remember when our Lord Jesus Christ says, "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not." That is, they don't work and labor, neither do they spin on looms. And yet, I say unto you that even Solomon was not arrayed as one of these. Glory is also used to refer to that which is bright and shining. Moses, when he came down from the mount, after he was with God, there was something different about his face, boys and girls. His face was glowing. His face was radiant. In fact, it was so bright that he actually had to put a veil over his face. Wealth, riches are often associated with the concept of glory. Well, that's what the wise is going to inherit. The wise is going to inherit this brightness, this wealth, this majesty, this honor. He will be advanced. He will be lifted up, no matter how far deep he may have sunk. In the pit and in the miry clay, he will be drawn out. He will be placed upon a rock. And a new song will be put in his mouth. That's what's going to happen to the wise one. He will inherit glory. A full enjoyment of felt worth and excellence. Does that sound good to you, my friend? Would you like to have an overabundance of felt worth and excellence? Maybe to put it very simply, would you really like to feel good about yourself? And not only to enjoy that yourself, but for everyone that's all around us to see that. I mean, friends, that's natural. Though it may in this world be perverted by sin, but the wise shall enter into a state of full, not partial, not 70%, not 80%, not 90, 95. No, it will be 100% enjoyment of felt worth and excellence combined with the further enjoyment of openly receiving the wonder and celebration of men and angels and the highest enjoyment of the open and public approval of God. I know that's a mouthful, but just let that sink in. Let your heart be a sponge to soak up that reality. That's what's there. In the wise shall inherit glory. But the other, what shall his promotion be? Unto what shall he be elevated? And don't be mistaken, simply because we're using the male pronoun doesn't mean that females aren't also in view. Shame shall be the promotion of fools. Oh, they'll get applause. They'll get an elevation. They'll get a recognition, but it does not compare to the advancement and the praise of the wise. They shall be promoted to a full and bitter sense of vileness and loathsomeness. So it's very opposite from what we've just considered. A full and bitter sense of vileness, that is, such exceeding filthiness and dirtiness, loathsomeness. See, you just can't think upon it without having your stomach turned. That's what fools are going to get. An inner sickness, a radical inner sickness concerning oneself. Think about the rich man in hell. When he was in this life, he had all kinds of outward blessings, and he didn't go to Goodwill or Savers. Oh no, he shopped at the finest retailers. And he got the finest food and the finest wine. We read that he lived sumptuously every day. It wasn't just one day in a season or one day a week. No, every day was a feast day. I had to imagine, I guess this fellow would have quite a gut because he didn't abstain from anything that was desirable. And he would walk past that poor beggar Lazarus, who had open sores on his arms. And children, what did the dogs come and do? They came and they licked those sores. That's the opposite of glory. That's mortifying shame. But when the rich man died and he opened his eyes, how do you think he felt about himself? What a fool I have been. Wasting my time, wasting my resources, gratifying all my pleasures. I lived like a fool, and now it's too late. This has been my promotion. This has been my advancement. Or what about all those Pharisees who love to pray openly in the corners of the streets so that they could be heard of men, and made sure that the coins, when they dropped in the collection box, that they rattled rather loudly. Jesus said, they have their reward. Even these fools shall be promoted to shame. They will receive a full and bitter sense of vileness and loathsomeness, combined with the further misery of openly receiving the contempt and ridicule of men and angels, and the most grievous agony of being openly abhorred and rejected by God. The only word to describe this, friends, is hell. Friends, hell has various dimensions, and one of its dimensions is perfect shame. And you don't have to think very long to understand why it is perfect shame. When one has been given so many opportunities, so many appeals, so many chances. God has given the fool so many chances. Finally, God says, that's it. Thou fool, this very night thy life is required of thee, and then it will be too late. Some of you deal with regrets All of us deal with regrets from time to time. Embarrassments, frustrations, but this shall be the great promotion of fools and despised openly by God. Think of the mortification. How many people, Jesus said, many will come to me on the last day. Not a few. Many will come to me on the last day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not done many wonderful works in your name? And then Jesus will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Oh, the agony, oh, the shame of being rejected by Jesus. Friend, you may have many who have rejected you, or maybe they've just slighted you and despised you, but all that is nothing compared to being the fool who is rejected by Jesus. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Third, how shall they be advanced? One, by seeking glory, but getting its opposite. One, by seeking glory, but getting its opposite. That's what a fool. A fool is so caught up with himself. He wants that honor. He wants it yesterday. And so he reaches out for it. He clutches it. He clings to it. And when it's beyond reach, he doesn't give up. He's going to obtain it. But shame shall be the promotion of fools. All those who exalt themselves shall be abased. But the other will be advanced, at least to his advancement, her advancement, by not seeking glory, but wisdom, and getting both in the end. And isn't that what happened to Solomon? He was given in that dream a blank check. What does he choose? Does he choose riches? Does he choose victory over his enemies? Does he choose fame beyond his wildest dreams? No. He puts all those to the side and says, I want wisdom. Wisdom to serve this people to the praise of God. Solomon didn't seek glory. Everyone else does. Everyone in his position seeks glory. And I'm sure if you had a dream like that, and it wasn't just a dream, I'm sure you'd be just a little tempted, wouldn't you? With all that glory. Ah. But the wise one does not seek glory, but wisdom. And then he lets God give to him these things and more in his time. The wise man, the wise woman does not take glory. And in fact, they are willing to take a measure of shame. They swallow their pride. They don't always have to be number one. They don't always have to be recognized. And they're not going to push it. Oh, the Lord prizes that lowliness of spirit before God and men. And so our master taught, didn't he? When you are bidden of any man to a wedding, do not sit in the highest room or place, that is, the seat to the immediate right or left of the bride and groom. So when you're called to a great feast at a wedding, don't sit in the highest place, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee in him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room. Take the place that is the farthest away, where there isn't good lighting. And when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And Jesus didn't just teach that, did he? He practiced that. The wise, they not only do not seek glory, they even accept to a degree the shame and the contempt even of wicked fools. David did. As Shimei, despised, openly shamed David. How does David respond? Does he defend his honor? No. Let him alone and let him curse. For the Lord hath bidden him. It may be the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. And when Jesus was mocked and put to shame, he took it, calling for all of his followers to accept undeserved shame. Christian, if you are a true Christian, a part of taking up Jesus' cross means being willing to accept undeserved shame. Are you willing to take it for him? If you're not, you cannot be his disciple. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Fourth, why shall they be advanced? Well, because one is impatient, among other things. He's got many vices, these fools, but impatience is one of the most notable. He can't wait for God. He wants it immediately. You know, we live, don't we, in a consumerist culture in which we always want everything that we want, and we want it now. But fools are the ones who are always trying to take shortcuts. And there are many so-called shortcuts that fools want to take that simply don't work. Because the only way to get to so many places is by taking the proper direct route, which takes time. Things don't happen automatically. Things don't happen spontaneously. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Why does the fool inevitably fall flat on his face in the muck and in the mud to his shame? Because he just can't wait. And he just can't accept his creatureliness. He needs to be more than he actually is. You see, it's one thing to be patient for something that is coming to us. It's another thing to want to be something that we were never meant to be. Fundamentally, that's pride and that's rebellion. As the king of Babylon, who said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. But God says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. But the wise one accepts the limitations that God has placed upon him. And he doesn't fight those limitations. He doesn't chomp at the bit. And he is ever seeking patience, waiting on God and for his time to do all well for him. And he seeks the glory of God first. And that is why the wise shall inherit glory, whereas shame shall be the promotion of fools. Fifth and last, when is all this going to happen? When is all this going to happen? Well, it will happen in this life. This proverb, as with so many others like it, is dealing with life in this world, life under God. And it sets forth these truths, these axioms about life in this world under God. And no matter how much the fool wants to pretend like it's not a reality, the fact of the matter is he will find time and again that when he exalts himself, he falls down and people laugh at him and ridicule him. You see, Haman, before his ruin, he exalts himself. Well, surely the king's going to nominate me to be the one who wears the royal robes and sits on the royal horse. But then he is cast down when he finds out that the king wants Mordecai, his sworn enemy, to be the one who is given this honor, and that he must carry the horse through the city and call out, thus shall it be done to the one that the king delights to honor. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. You're a fool, Haman. And then on the flip side, consider Joseph. Joseph, who holds on to his integrity, which the world looks at and says, what are you doing, man? And so he gets thrown into a dungeon, and the world wants to say, ha, you see where that got you, Joseph? You could have had your cake and eaten it too. But was he a fool? Well, he didn't have to wait till the resurrection for God openly to honor and to vindicate his servant. And there he is sitting on the right hand of Pharaoh. But even though the Proverbs in general are speaking about life in this world under God, I would suggest, with the light of especially the New Testament shining upon it, that this points to the end of the age. Daniel writes in chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Our Lord speaks in the same way concerning the future glory of his children in Matthew 13:43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Friends, there's a theological term for this. It's called glorification. Whom he called, he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Every believer, by the wisdom that the Spirit is given to him, given to her, although there is shame, and we have to take shame sometimes, many times, undeservedly, and though our bodies are weakened and injured and grow old and are placed in the grave, or in the case of some Christians, are physically abused, one day they will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Christian, if you are among the wise, that's you. I like what Thomas Boston says. I usually do when it's Thomas Boston. If there was a dazzling glory on Moses' face when he came down from the mount, and if Stephen's face was as it had been the face of an angel when he stood before the council, how much more shall the faces of the saints be beautiful and glorious, full of sweet, agreeable majesty. Let that one sink in. Sweet, agreeable majesty, when they have put off all corruption and shine as the sun. Next time you're downcast, you need to think about this. The wise shall inherit glory. Now we close briefly to the fools, for whom there is now no shame. You shall be put to shame. You don't take shame. You don't accept it. And you glory in that which is shameful. When they were ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, complains the prophet. Neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. Never mind that you are not shamed now. Never mind that you are now honored, now accepted, now validated, now celebrated. Never mind. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you, says Jesus. Because whatever fragile glory you have now is going to just vanish. You will inherit. You will be advanced. You will be promoted, but it will be to shame. And you who are wise, you who are taught of God to accept shame, to accept weakness, to accept dishonor, your shame shall be turned to glory. Never mind that you are not honored now. Who cares? Or at least, who important in the eyes of God cares? And ultimately, because God cares, God looks down and says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Then you can just turn the volume down on all that foolish chatter, because the wise shall inherit glory, while shame shall be the promotion of fools. And never mind that you are despised, ridiculed, put to shame. No, never mind it. Because the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Even the sufferings that come upon us worketh out for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Oh, Christian, cover your ears. Put your hands over your eyes. Learn to filter what you see and hear from this world through the reality that we are considering. And continue to seek only the praise of God. Amen. Let us close in prayer. Please rise. O Lord, how we are so grateful for the doctrine of glorification. May it be our meat and drink. May it encourage us to maintain a righteous course. May it enable us to defend ourselves against all those attacks, and also from our very hearts that condemn us. For thou art greater than our hearts. Receive us now, O God, and we pray thee that thou would keep us from shame and lead us to thy glory. Through Christ. Amen. Our final psalm is Psalm 48, the second version. Psalm 148. Psalm 148, the second version, to the tune Darwal, tune number 174. The Lord of heaven confess, on high his glory raise, him let all angels bless, him all his armies praise. Without further reading, this psalm to God's honor. please rise for the benediction. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen.